It's July 2nd. It's a Tuesday. There's a lot happening this week. Actually, everybody's on vacation this week. Nothing's happening this week.
I think something is happening this week. It's the birth of our country.
That's not until Friday, because everybody's definitely taking Friday off.
That's Thursday.
Well, I mean, but okay, Thursday and Friday, because Thursday is going to be the holiday, and then no one is going to show up to work Friday.
You gotta love your country. You can't go to work if you're loving your country. It's not like this country was built on work. Speaking of this country and the glory that it is, let's talk about everybody's favorite American.
Oh, it's got to be a Jeet Pie. The House has voted to block a Jeet Pie's plan to kill a San Francisco broadband law. So I looked at this, and it's like, what on earth could the possible excuse be? And it seems to come down to if you own an apartment building in San Francisco, a Jeet Pie thinks you should be entitled to get cash kickbacks from a provider that's providing service to your building. And a provider providing service to your building is going to be less likely to give you a cash kickback if you have more than one provider that provides service for your building.
Nah, see, I think a Jeet Pie is not doing this for the building owners. He's doing it for the ISPs.
Yes.
Because the reason the ISP would give you a cash kickback is because they make a lot more than that by forcing the people in your building to use their service.
Whether they want to or not, whether the service is any good or not, because what are you going to do? Switch providers? That's not possible if there's only one provider. That's also not very capitalistic, is it?
But the rule here is if you own the wiring in the building. I guess in some situations you can own a building but not the wiring somehow, because there are exceptions to this. But if you own the wiring, you must let competitive ISPs also offer their services through your wiring. That's the rule here. So
Neat.
seems, it's a weird one because it is your wiring, but at the same time, it's those people's homes. So are you're stepping on their rights by exercising your rights?
Seems like a dumpster fire either way.
It's a moral quandary, but I kind of like that they're erring on the side of giving the tenants choice. A lot of places will bake this into your rent. Then they're taking a cut, the ISP's taking a cut, a Jeet Pie's taking a cut.
The places that I've seen bake into the rent have been more about like they have one global internet service for the entire building, and then everybody shares that one connection. This, I think, was more about one provider providing, like allowing people to subscribe on their own thing, because I can't imagine that it's not more profitable for the ISP to have everybody subscribe individually versus a building. Because a building, I mean, even for like 10 gigabit service, they probably only pay $5,000 or $10,000 a month, and amortized across 50 tenants, that's really not a lot of money.
Well, we'll see if other places pick that up. And speaking of the FCC, they've been busy. They've been busy, busy boys, because they are now also making a decision about Verizon locking some handsets.
Oh, look at that. The FCC says it's cool when Verizon starts locking handsets again. Update Verizon statement. So Verizon has historically behaved anti-competitively, and it's like, hey, if somebody pays for their handset, you need to unlock them. And they're like, well, we're trying to prevent fraud from somebody signing up in somebody else's name because our security is super poor, and we'll just let somebody walk out of a store with 10 iPhones. And so that's somehow the consumer's fault, and it results in needing to lock their phones to one carrier and making sure that you can't take your phone and use it with a different carrier. And the FCC is like, oh yeah, cool.
Except we still have that SIM swapping problem.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, not taking that as seriously. So, this is supposed to be for 60 days, assuming that they will catch the fraud within 60 days. After that time, it's supposed to auto unlock. You don't
It doesn't.
need to call them, you don't need to bother them, they're going to do it automatically.
Spoiler alert, it didn't.
For whatever reason, I think Verizon is one of the only companies that has to deal with this because of some merger promises.
Yeah.
And the other companies, they'll just do it anyway. They'll just screw you with the locks anyway. So, Verizon wanted this to be even better for them, but actually the FCC kind of took a stand and only gave them half a pie. Get it? We often talk about the FCC, the revolving door of government. It's been well documented. We won't rehash it here, but pretty much everybody that works in the FCC has at some point worked in the industry, and they will often go back there after some time in the FCC. And, you know, we like to joke that they're criminals. But is there any proof of that? Well, not always. But sometimes.
Sometimes there is, it turns out. The ex-chair of the FCC Broadband Committee gets 5 years in prison for fraud. So what did she do? She said that they were going to build a ton of fiber optic infrastructure in Alaska, and she forged a bunch of contracts with companies that were willing to pay at a certain rate. And then so she went to investors and said, hey, if we can get a bunch of investment, then we can build out this fiber network and we'll have a ton of customers and it'll be great. Now, the bad thing is that that company actually does exist, and they're the ones that, like, once they figured out what she was doing, they sort of blew the whistle on it. She's going to go to jail for 5 years. And she's got to make some restitution payments, which, I mean, for the level of fraud that we're talking about here, over $100 million is just one of the counts. Like, 5 years. That doesn't seem like a lot.
She was also using the money for her personal lifestyle. So she was negotiating.
That was only $300,000.
Getting a bad contract, changing it, printing a new copy, taking that to the investors, taking that money, and living off of it.
Obviously. So,
yeah, she had to know where that was going. I think what she expected to happen there was, because of her master business skills, she was eventually going to convince them to actually do what she wanted.
That's what it said in the article, but I have a hard time believing that. Because, like, how are you...
Well, I don't. I mean, it's just, you know, personal delusion.
Well, you think about that personality type contributing to the FCC and, like, the other people of the FCC not being like, wow, she's super weird, we need to get rid of her.
Oh, it makes perfect sense, because
it does if your universe is very horrible.
Someone realized during their time at the FCC, it's like, oh, you just lie a little bit and you get away with it. And it works out in the end because nobody calls you on it. And then they go into private business. It's like, oh, that doesn't happen here. That's a special world. Real world doesn't work like that.
Oh, they're retconning what actually happened. No.
We've talked a lot about encryption and... You know, every government, I mean, you know, China and Russia, clearly, they don't make any bones about it. No encryption. Australia,
yeah,
very draconian. Most of the EU is, they haven't outright done away with it, but they're definitely setting up for it.
Scared to death of encryption.
But what about the good old US of A? You don't really hear about, I mean, the FBI has been very vocal.
Yeah,
some of the alphabet agencies, but the lawmakers don't really talk about it too much. But maybe just because they're not talking about it, doesn't mean they're not doing it.
White House, Trump's White House reportedly debating encryption policy behind closed doors. So, yeah.
Look at Bolton back there being ominous. We got to bomb him, man.
That's a great photo. I can't help but think that they blurred Trump. Like, that's not actually bokeh, that they just blurred him a bunch. But he definitely looks concerned.
And also, the seal in the background here looks like he's got just a wicked rat tail because it's blurred. Like a mullet. So, yeah, we really don't know much about this, except that things are being discussed, and that same FBI director is saying the same crap. It's like, we can't just have this secret place that law enforcement can't look into. That's just, we just cannot have that. And, I mean, Trump's an impressionable guy.
Okay,
good. He could be convinced, I think, which is
not good,
unfortunate, but I guess we'll find out more about that, or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just, like, there'll be a law one day and it's like, here it is.
Look, all the other Five Eyes nations are doing away with encryption, we should too. And it's just like, no.
So we know about the, when we use these online services, Google, Facebook, and so forth, they are for sure selling our data. That's how a lot of them make all their money, like Facebook, for example, the ad system. But what we don't know is what that's actually worth. What is your data worth? We assume it's probably not much individually, but, you know, in aggregate, it's worth a lot. But what if we could know? What if we knew our number?
A U.S. bill is going to force tech giants to tell users how much their data is worth. The bill would also force the large tech companies to disclose what user data they collect and how they're monetizing it. So this seems like it would open up the door for a lot of civil lawsuits, which is maybe what's going to happen here. Because you think about Facebook, and Facebook's entire business model, as large and as wealthy as they are, is built on user data. And so, you know, if they've got a million users, then those million users, their data is going to be hugely valuable. So if they breach something and they lose 10,000 users worth of data, it's going to be easy to calculate what the lawsuit value is.
Let me give you a great idea here. It's free of charge. Level one tip. if you're a young programmer and you want a project to work on, when this happens, there will be a series of APIs for all the big. Google will have one, Facebook will have one, you know, blah, blah, blah. Build an app that aggregates all of those per user and let that user put that score out there on all of the social media services to brag about how valuable, because it's going to come to that. People are going to be like, look how much more valuable my data is than yours. I'm such an influencer that my data is worth thousands of dollars. Look at this.
That would be crazy if everybody's data is only worth, because the more places your data is, the less it's worth. So
it's like the, you know, the girls who maintain their virginity into their 30s and then auction it off. It's like, I've only ever used Twitter. Only Twitter. Look at my data value. Robocallers. We hear about robocallers week after week because they are a plague upon us. And week after week, we hear more about the solution, and yet no solution is forthcoming.
The U.S. government announces a nationwide crackdown on robocallers. You know, the other day, I got a call from one of my other phone numbers. I was like, that's weird. I'm calling myself. And I looked over, and it's like, my phone's laying on the desk. I'm pretty sure this is a spammer.
You never know. You better answer it. It might be the IRS.
I'm calling you from the future. Don't go to lunch with...
Now, here's the thing that kills me about this story. Mr. Derek Jason Bartoli apparently wrote this software and is himself responsible for 57 million calls. Why is this man still free? Why have his neighbors not killed him? We know who he is. What? Such
send,
a...
Send the marshals to round him up and put him in jail.
Round him up? Send the black teams from the alphabet agency to disappear him. Put him in a room with, you know, 24-hour sleeplessness and the heavy metal... Guantanamo, that whole situation. Do that to him.
I was going
to
say he needs to go... You remember last week we learned about the how U.S. intelligence people had compromised the power grid in Russia? Just put him on that team and have him do this in Russia.
No. He must suffer. There's no coming back for him. That's a broken human being. Also, this new redesign of Chromium makes it really hard to tell which is the active tab. I don't care for it.
We did some software updates. Hopefully it won't be terrible.
Remember that time that we almost went to war with Iran a few weeks ago?
Which time?
The most recent one. So we've learned after the fact that Trump, that he had his finger on the button. He was ready to go. They had all the military assets in place. And at the last minute, he was like, no, we'll hack them instead. And now we know for sure.
That's actually, it seems weird that this would be posted on ZDNet, but the U.S. has launched a cyber attack aimed at Iranian rocket and missile systems. The attack took place last week after President Trump backed off from using controversial weapon strike in Iran. So,
conventional. Not controversial. Conventional. I mean, it could be both. Yeah, we don't have a lot of info on this. I mean, obviously they won't give the exact details, but like you say, it's weird. Basically, they called up the Iranian missile defense systems and said, hey, heads up. Better watch out. We're coming. Got our eyes on you. So we don't know. I think Iran said this was unsuccessful, but you never know what's just propaganda with both sides. But probably overall better than just bombing them.
Yeah.
For everybody involved. I mean, Mr. Bolton doesn't think so, but.
Well, his frown is just, it's like baked into his face. I mean,
you don't know what's going on under that vicious stash. Oh, the NSA. Every week now we talk about the NSA, about something that happened a long time ago, but it's in the news every week.
The NSA has improperly collected U.S. phone call data after saying that it had a problem with something, or it had the problem fixed. So, yeah, we reported on this two or three times, and it's like, this is not fixed. They're still collecting the data. And now we have the admission that they're still collecting the data. It turns out when you have this kind of an apparatus that's so invasive, it's hard to turn it off.
And they were only supposed to get the foreign communication. It wasn't just foreign communication.
Well, we need everything to know what's foreign.
And they got everything.
How would you know?
Somebody found out they got everything. And so now, once again, what's the answer? Just delete it. I mean, all that money we spent, all the the back and forth with people complaining about it and the legal battles. Let's just delete it. We don't need it anyway.
We're going to delete this copy of it. Ta-da! It's like, what about that over there? Shh.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. We're going to delete this copy of it. By the way, we need another data center. What for? Don't worry.
Can't you use the space that you just freed up from deleting that? It's like, no, you don't understand. We sent those to a shredder.
It doesn't work like that. Oh, remember Huawei. Huawei is... They were... It was an 8 count. They were on the ground, bleeding from the eyes. The ref had just counted 8. But what happens? A second wind.
President Trump has lifted the U.S. ban on Huawei at the G20 summit. I gotta want... I mean, this does seem like... You know the old, like, pro wrestling thing where, like, the guy comes out
the
with
comeback.
A chair?
Yeah. When Hulk Hogan would get up and he'd be, like, shaking his fist and he'd, like... Got the power back. This is exactly like that.
So is President Trump expecting somebody to walk out with like the giant belt and be like, here, you know, nobody ever predicted this. Good job. You win.
Well, it's not a complete comeback. So he gave the qualifier that it has to be like non-security related stuff. So you assume that they can now use Android again, because I don't think that would be. And they can probably use Windows again, which will be big for them. But I don't think 5G is going to be part of this.
Yeah, we're not going to buy 5G equipment. I guess.
And like the undersea cables and all that stuff, I'm sure that's still a bone of contention. So we'll have to see exactly what this means. I mean, this is just, as usual, this is a headline that's just yanked from one statement that Trump made. Yeah. And we don't know exactly what that means. But this was part of an agreement with China. Apparently, there's been some sort of, you know, at least temporary truce with the trade deal.
Does that mean the tariffs are also not coming?
Didn't those already start?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to officially turn those off, I guess. What if you're the guy who's like in charge of doing all the paperwork related to tariffs? You have to be furious.
Just put all the paperwork in the air.
We know what that's like in a digital format. Where it's like, hey, make all these changes. And then a day later, it's like, we don't want any of those changes anymore. And it's infuriating just with digital stuff. But we have to do all the paperwork and get everything signed and everything. I'm sure it's way worse. Also, in the China debate, you know, we talked about for a while there, for like 2 days, Huawei was out of the IEEE.
Yeah.
Or not just Huawei, but all the Chinese companies. And it's like, wow. And China is not being allowed to participate in a variety of things because it's like, no, we don't trust you. You're working for the government. Now you can add one more to the list.
The FBI has urged universities to monitor some Chinese students and scholars in the U.S. And so this is not, they haven't cited a specific security threat. And some of the universities have said, we'll take it under advisement. We haven't done anything specific. But there are some lists, apparently, of Chinese nationals. And it's like, hey, we need to watch these people to make sure that they're not doing anything bad.
And you got to wonder, what does that mean in terms of watch them? I mean, a university should not have surveillance on its students, right?
One would think. I mean,
so do you assign someone to follow them around? I mean, do you maybe monitor their ID card comings and goings?
You send them a letter that's like, hey, the FBI asked us to keep an eye on you. Can you let us know if anything weird is happening?
Yeah. If you're working for Huawei, please check yes in the box below. We talk a lot about surveillance, obviously, even with that kind of thing. But when it comes to government surveillance, you have things like the NSA, where they're just collecting everything. And that's the new way of doing it. You just collect everything, you store it, you search it later. And more local police are going that way, as we see with the story.
The single wiretap, police collected 9.2 million text messages. Yes, a single wiretap. This speaks more about our infrastructure and centralization. You think about the internet and you think about the old stories of the internet where everything is decentralized. No, this is evidence of all of the networks being super interconnected. So it's like, we need to survey this guy. We don't know exactly where he's going to be. And it's like, great, you can have the whole network.
It was also, so this was drug war stuff, and this is the new record. The old record was another drug war thing. And I think this one was 150-some people.
Yeah.
So you can imagine if it's 150 drug dealers They are getting a lot of text messages.
But not 9 million.
Well, it depends on how long you're going. I mean, how many customers do you have as a...
It's not 9 million.
Because if you're selling crack or meth or something, people are hitting you all day long. Hey, man. Hey, man. Can I get some? Can I get some?
The collected works of Shakespeare is only 1.3 megabytes.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying drug dealers are popular people. So I imagine there are a lot of texts, but 9 million seems like a lot. It seems like more than a dealer would be getting.
Yeah.
So,
or even 150 dealers.
Definitely some people caught up in that who should not be. So you think about, hey, did you maybe know somebody in college that might be dealing a little weed here and there? Or, you know, one of your family members might be on meth, might not be dealing, might just be using. And you text them and you get caught up in this web.
Congratulations. You're in a database.
Mm. And you're in a database related to drugs. That's going to be bad for your social score.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I thought that was China only.
Oh. Facial recognition. Facial recognition is hotly contested because it's invasive. It's often wrong. And it's not something that you can opt out of. Just by the act of existing and going about your daily life, you get caught up in it. And some cities are fighting back.
A second U.S. city has banned facial recognition. This is Somerville, which is next to Cambridge, Massachusetts, has joined San Francisco in banning the use of facial recognition. The specific things that they ban are a little different than San Francisco. And it wasn't super clear if like they were inspired by what was happening in San Francisco or if they were just like, no, we need to get in front of this.
Well, this one was a little bit more comprehensive than San Francisco. So this, you can obviously have cameras, but if you are a public space, you cannot tie any sort of facial recognition to those cameras. Now, I wonder, does that matter in terms of, okay, let's say the cops have facial recognition, right? And you rob a dollar store. Dollar store cannot use facial recognition. But when they turn the video over to the cops, could the cops then use facial recognition on that?
I think so. I think there are some loopholes in there.
I guess that is good in that it prevents the collection of more and more faces to train it and to add to the database. But I don't think it completely stops the scourge of facial recognition.
We're not even at a point where facial recognition is all that accurate.
Doesn't matter.
I'll never forget the story where they were like, well, the guy that robbed me looked kind of like Woody Harrelson. And they just put Woody Harrelson's picture in the thing. And it's like, here's a match.
If Woody Harrelson has to go to prison for our security, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. We talked about the tariffs earlier, and you know, you surmise, will they go away? Is there a deal? We don't know. But if there isn't, a lot of things, you know, people don't realize how much comes from China. How much of your life is going to be impacted by this? Did you think about your beloved pleb consoles?
Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony have asked Trump to skip tariffs on gaming consoles. Companies say that tariffs on consoles will undermine efforts to protect U.S. intellectual property and preserve U.S. high-tech leadership. So, basically, the situation here is that everything is made in China, and this is really a problem for game consoles, which already have kind of razor-thin margins. It's kind of the razor thing, where you try to not make any money on the console, and then make all your money on games.
Or software as a service, as we're heading to. Yeah. Subscriptions. I don't understand how it protects intellectual property, because under this system, we're sending all of our intellectual property over there to get made. Yeah. And they're stealing it.
But or designing it in the first place, as the case may be.
I think more importantly, it's going to undermine profits. And that's what they're most concerned about. So, unfortunate if it happens. The DMV, as we know, collects a lot of data and has a lot of data because pretty much everybody drives, right?
That's the Department of Motor Vehicles, where when you drive a car, they've got all your stuff.
And you have to renew and blah, blah, blah. It's a huge pain in the ass. They keep all that data and it's available to all cops who would never abuse it because they are paragons of virtue.
Oh, wait. A Minnesota cop has been awarded $585,000 after colleagues snooped on her DMV data. What this article is light on is details about exactly how and why they snooped on her data, but it does say that at least two of the officers involved were rejected, like their romantic advances toward her were rejected, and then all of a sudden they're looking her up late at night. And she's not suspected of any crime or anything like that, and she is herself a cop, is or was. And so under the law in Minnesota, you can request how many times your DMV profile has been accessed. And when they gave her the report, it was like...
thousands of times.
Yeah.
They pointed out that in defense of themselves, these cops that were, I don't know if they were fired or just suspended or whatever, they were punished for this. They were like, I don't understand what everybody's so up in arms about. We do this all the time. I don't know anybody who doesn't run all of his girlfriends and neighbors and everything through this database. This is just what we do.
Remind me again why we built this database.
Do you remember the story about there was a cop who used it to target Spanish-speaking young women?
Yeah.
And then he would go in uniform and like date them almost forcibly. That was a really disgusting scenario with this kind of thing. So, I don't know what you'd do about it because...
But that guy was like, I figured this out. This is amazing. He's like, no, why?
You do need... Cops do need to be able to access this when they go about their business. But I guess a system like... was it Minnesota? Where everything is logged and it's open. The records are open is a good system. But if she wasn't a cop, she wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
So, now we talk about facial recognition and surveillance, and I have all these ways to figure out who we are. It's very Orwellian. Add one more to the list.
The Pentagon has a laser that can identify people from a distance by their heartbeat. The Jetson prototype can pick up on a unique cardiac signature from 200 meters away, even through clothes. This is going to be bad for spies.
Now, this is... I'm curious, they did not cover, if this only works for resting heart rate. Because it's not measuring your heart rate, it's measuring the surface of your skin, your body, and the way that's moving based on your heart rate. But if your heart rate is elevated, I wonder...
I'd say that it probably is just like the actual cardiac event. Like the way that it's worded, it makes me think that like, for a particular heartbeat, whether it's happening, you know, 60 times a second or 120 times a second, it's like that that vibration is unique to each individual.
Now, it says through clothes, but it's only through light clothing, like cotton or something like that. So if you're afraid of this, just put on a parka.
Well, they have another laser that can burn a small hole in your clothes, in your parka, and then... It's like, ow,
get a parka that has a really offensive smell when it burns. You know, some sort of horrible flame retardant clothing.
Oh man, can you imagine if somebody had like an antique parka that didn't have all the flame retardant chemicals in it and they were trying to ID them? They would accidentally set somebody on fire from a distance.
I guess if they're a dissident, that's one way of dealing with them, right? When you go to prison, you have nothing to do except read. They don't even let you lift weights anymore because they say that's a risk. You can go to the library, and that's what most people do. And a lot of places will try to encourage rehabilitation, right? You learn a trade. So when you get out of prison, you have something to do other than go back to crime, which is what makes this story really weird and sad.
Prisons are banning books that teach prisoners how to code. Oregon prisons have banned dozens of books about technology and programming, like Microsoft Excel 2016 for Dummies, citing security reasons. So learning how to code and Excel for Dummies and also like Windows 95 for Dummies is on the list, is also included in this.
That one should be on the list because you're wasting your time. But the idea is, and we've seen this, remember the guys that were running the crypto servers and the ceilings? These guys have nothing to do all day long, and they can actually learn a crazy amount simply because, I mean, think about how much you could learn if you were locked in a room with nothing to do, and you have to do something to stop the monotony, so you simply learn.
Well, I saw that the, you know, some of the books, like the Black Hat Hacking books and that kind of thing, I could see that, that situations like that would create a headache for prison administrators, maybe, if the inmates had computer access, but... The vast majority of those books seem like that they would not be that.
Well, they have no idea, right? They're banning everything because prisons attract a very basic kind of employee, right? Like, they put all those prisons out there in, like, Colorado, Montana, and all those places because they had economies with no jobs and nobody had any experience or education. And then fracking started, and the shale industry took all the prison workers because it's like, hey, here's another job where you just have to show up and be a warm body. And so they probably don't know the difference between Excel 2016 and Windows 95, and they're just terrified that these prisoners who have all day to find out ways to screw them are...
It's going
to
be like in movies.
Yeah. And I don't know, but it would be... I mean, if I ever had to go to prison, that would be definitely the shit I'd be reading, right? Because you have a chance to improve yourself when you don't have anything else to do. Why not? If you can afford these books or whatever. But also, imagine how difficult it would be to learn all that stuff without ever touching a computer.
That would be insane.
I mean, if you got nothing else to do, I imagine it's possible, but...
That was one of the things that Stephen Hawking always credited. It's like, you know, how are you so brilliant, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'm not
in prison.
Well, no, a prison of his own mind.
All right, yeah. So he's got, I mean, I guess that's, when did that happen to him? Was that the 90s?
No, it was progressive as he, it happened when he was
But when
very
did he
young.
Go into the chair, I mean?
Oh, the 70s.
So he didn't get that screen. Imagine how the world opened up to him when he got the internet. That was probably huge.
Yeah.
Mm. Speaking of blasts from the past, remember Theranos and young Miss Holmes?
She's getting a movie. That's not what this is about, though. Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes to stand trial. That's very different than a movie in 2020.
Look at her. She's as adorable as she is crazy. Well, it turns out, yep, she's going to have to stand trial. And it has to do with the fact that she defrauded a lot of people.
Turns out her blood test thing, that was vastly overstated.
It never worked. And so this is similar to the Alaska story.
Yep.
She was taking investment money a lot more than the Alaska lady did. Orders of magnitude more. And here she is now.
Well, under trial.
Sad. Oh, it's so hard to tell which one of these tabs is active. When you have your military networks, you have to protect them.
You can put them on the public internet. That's what they were originally.
You shouldn't do that. Because China will come along.
China and reroute the traffic.
Or the U.S. And that is why it seems weird to read this headline.
Germany and the Netherlands to build the first ever joint military internet. So, remember how earlier we said that because of the commercialization of the internet, it's led to just this vast centralization? Turns out that's bad if you need to use a global distributed network for things like military operations. It's not very redundant because all of those redundant links have been consolidated into single links. And so Germany and the Netherlands are getting together to build the first ever joint military internet. And, satellite connections are a part of this, which I thought was interesting.
It's called the Tactical Edge Network, which seems stupid. Here's the thing about it. A lot of people criticize the EU, saying that the EU is kind of a bit of a proxy for Germany, because they pretty much pay for it, and they make a lot of the decisions, and they're the most powerful economically, and they're kind of, you know, carrying the European economy on their back. And this points more to that, doesn't it?
It sure seems to.
Yeah. Weird. We'll see how it works out. Now, a lot of people, well, I don't know about a lot of people, but the EU certainly wants an EU military. They want an army that's not beholden to any single country. And this would definitely be a step in the direction of that.
What could go wrong? Can you imagine, like, Facebook, it's like, here's the European Union army. It's like they've come to collect a fine.
Yeah, from your country, which is in the EU.
Yeah.
And your military has been gutted because they sent half the troops. I think they would be quickly, I don't know if they'd be surprised, but, well, yeah, they would probably be surprised to find out that the loyalty would not be to the wasn't there something like that in the French, the Maginot Line?
Yeah.
They had staffed it with ethnic Germans.
Yeah.
They were just like, nope. I don't think so, brother. Oh, you remember that time that Russia hacked our number one social network? Oh, wait.
It turns out that Western intelligence hacked Russia's Google Yandex. Yandex is what it's called. To spy on accounts, according to sources. So, remember how last week it was like we were hacking Russia's electrical grid, and now it's like, oh, we also hacked Yandex to spy on accounts. So, it turns out that Google, you know, knows a lot about you. Russia's Google, Yandex, also knows a lot about Russians that use it. So, what better place to gather intelligence?
And this, well, they compare it to Google, but I guess Alphabet would be the better comparison now, because this Yandex thing covers a huge array of services, like Alphabet does. So, it's not just a search engine or a social media thing. It's all those things under one roof. They were trying to get into the authentication. They wanted to hack the logins, and they wanted to hack particular users. But according to Russia, they didn't get away with it.
We would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for you meddling kids and your proper network monitoring.
Yeah, they figured it out quickly. Good job, Yandex, I guess. In Iran, they have government subsidized power. Very cheap electricity, which the Iranian government is paying for. Makes a lot of sense because they've got all that delicious oil, right? They can make electricity. But when you find out about almost free electricity, what do you immediately think of doing?
Mining Bitcoin? Iran has seized 1,000 Bitcoin mining machines that were using subsidized power. Now, 1,000 Bitcoin mining machines, are we talking about like ASICs, or are we talking about like a machine is a 42U rack full of graphics cards? Because one of those is much more impressive than the other.
It was Raspberry Pis. Bitcoin is banned in Iran, so that is their reasoning for seizing those. I mean, not only are you gaming the free electricity system, but you're dealing in something that's not legal. So
we're going to seize these from you, but we need to keep them operational. Can you help us keep these operational and we won't like just kill you?
Change the address to this. That'll be okay. These people had just found an abandoned warehouse. And because I guess the entire infrastructure is on that free electricity, you don't have to have an account with some energy provider. So they just set up shop in an abandoned warehouse. Smart till you got caught. India, we've talked a lot about India and their very contentious relationship with WhatsApp, because WhatsApp is huge in India. Nearly everybody uses it. And they seems like they just kind of believe whatever comes across it, right? Like if it says, go kill somebody, they form a posse, right? So it's a bit of a problem. And they have an interesting idea that I don't think is going to work out for them on how to deal with that.
India reportedly wants to build its own WhatsApp for government communication. So they literally, like, legit, it's like, we're going to build this application and everybody's going to use it. Guaranteed that once it's built, they're going to be like, WhatsApp's illegal.
Oh, yeah. But also, it's going to be like that biometric database that they built. It's going to get hacked to shit moments after it goes into. Is this picture of him, like, trying to say something so his lips can't be read? But that guy's looking away from him.
I don't know. I think it's probably just random press photography.
Is he just yawning or? Can't figure out what's going on in that picture.
Literally the only picture they had in the TechCrunch database.
I'm sure there's lots of pictures they have. He's a world leader. We've all heard about Boeing in recent news. The news has been poor. They, of course, had the planes that fell out of the sky. Turns out that they had a security measure that they didn't install by default and tried to DLC you on. The pilots weren't trained correctly. Just this past week, there was a new flaw, nosediving, which, you know, if you're in the plane world,
it's kind of bad.
Nosediving's bad.
This isn't Boeing to end well. Plane maker to scrap some physical cert tests and use computer simulations instead. Actually probe expensive gear in real life? Aha, it's too expensive. We're Boeing. We're digital. So this article sort of makes fun of Boeing for doing that, but actually, they uncovered in the simulations, they uncovered some more problems and maybe an explanation for why the plane does the nosedive thing.
Oh, I don't disagree with simulations.
Just not in place of.
You must do both.
Yes.
And so they're talking about things like wind tunnel testing for wings. Just simulate it, bro.
What could go wrong?
Because there could be manufacturing defects between the model and the reality.
Remember what happened with the Russian space shuttle and they didn't get a high enough grade of aluminum and it was very bad?
And somebody drilled a hole in it?
Is that what happened? I don't know.
That's what happened in the most recent one. Remember the hole?
Oh, yeah.
So if you were to wind tunnel test that capsule, you'd be like, oh, something ain't right here. But if you're just using the model...
Everything went according to plan.
So that seems like a terrible idea. But it might be, you think that has anything to do with Boeing just like trying to claw back money because they're being put out of business?
No. Well, probably not claw back money, but it's probably eating itself like the bureaucracy because you don't know which parts are wasting money and which parts are actually effective. So you just...
They had those pictures this week of the Boeing parking lots. They're full of 737s because the hangars are all full. They don't have anywhere to put them. So they're just in the parking lots.
Park under the wing. It's fine. It's like, that doesn't seem good.
Well, now we move on to the robot section, which we actually started with that one, and I didn't mention it. That was AI that was going to do that. AI simulations for the win to kill people in air. But this one has to do with AI simulation as well, simulating a bit more than wind tunnel testing.
Yeah, I think this was one of the more fascinating articles this week. It's like, this AI can simulate the universe in 30 milliseconds. And that's not the scary part. We don't know how it's able to simulate the universe in 30 milliseconds. So it's there must be some math or something here because existing in-body universe simulation software, I mean, it takes weeks or months to run. And so they use those runs as training data for this AI. And so what would take forever to run on those, like, traditional simulation software that uses actual physics equations, it's somehow able to run in, like, 30 milliseconds.
They do mention it's not as good, it's not as accurate, but it's, like, in the 90 percentile accurate.
They also didn't train it for things like dark matter, but they changed some of the input parameters, and whatever this neural net has been trained on, or like the resultant trained network still got the calculations accurately. So whatever kind of math the neural net is doing is very good.
This is going to be huge for space sim gaming.
Yeah, 30 mil. I mean, I bet that, you know, it'd be funny if Star Citizen like gets on this. It's like, oh man, we're, you know, our company is collapsing because we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on our space simulation backend. We need this in order to, and then you could run the entire, you know, Star Citizen thing on a Raspberry Pi.
That could play out like you said if Star Citizen weren't vaporware to begin with.
You can also download the source for this, which is probably a lot of fun that I have not done yet.
Run your own universe, change a few variables, see what things would be like in a different world.
I thought this next story was a nonsense story. I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
It is a nonsense story, but the reason I put it in the robot section, well, you can see from the headline.
Fraser Anning has written to the Queen asking her not to rescind honor from robot sex expert. This is in the SBS News in Australia.
Now, I don't know which one of these guys is which. Left is Fraser Anning, and right is this the guy we're talking about. So here he is. This is the guy. Now, I don't know what any of this garbage means, but the funny part is...
I learned Australia has a queen.
He is part of the Love and Sex with Robots conference.
Okay.
Let's just take a moment to realize that Australia has a Love and Sex with Robots conference. And one of the guys heavily involved in it is advising the government. He also has caused some controversy because he was talking about Muslim immigration into Australia.
Yeah, the comment seemed a little extreme there.
Referred to it as needing to find a final solution. A little tone deaf.
Oh, no.
So.
That's literally in the article.
That's a bad look for the robot lovers of Australia. This is a terrible layout. If Krista were here, she would tear this apart. Oh, yeah. And Krista's not here. For those of you who are like, where's Krista?
She's camping.
She's backpacking. Oh, wait, you say. Didn't she backpack 2 weeks ago? No. That trip was canceled, but she didn't come that week. But now that she's rescheduled, so she didn't come this week either.
It did rain unexpectedly the other day, so we don't
know. Yeah. Rain and hail, it was crazy. And that was like, she was just about to leave to go to the backpacking trip.
Does that mean we're going to play more Stellaris tonight?
Somebody turned on the faucet. But yeah, so she's not here. Presumably, still alive, although we have no proof of that.
No proof of life.
Let's talk about Toyota.
Can you imagine getting that call from Rue? Just, what?
I don't think Rue knows. Let's talk about Toyota and their basketball-playing robot.
Toyota is building a robot that can play basketball, and it looks really scary.
Q3. Why is it named Q3? Because the first two were named Q1 and 2. Why Q? I don't know. What does the number 93 mean? I don't know. But here he is, shooting free throws. He can shoot from half court. Here's a nice time-lapse shot, except not really, because the human movements aren't time-lapsed. Whatever, it looks cool, right? He has a record of 2,020 consecutive free throws.
That seems a little excessive.
That's a lot. A lot of free throws. Now, he cannot move while he shoots. He must be stationary. But they are working on that. They're working on him moving as he shoots.
I think this is the technology that Boston Dynamics needs. We need one of those dogs with the Toyota torso. Like the dog, if we're building Centaurs, that would be amazing. Toyota should merge with Boston Dynamics.
I would watch them play basketball.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Although I don't think they could play on traditional courts, because that would be very damaging to the wood.
Concrete would be a lot. Well, actually, that might be really cool. Like just the way that they crunch into the wood, creating just hazards.
Get to replace it every week. Yeah, I think if we have robot dog basketball, hazards and difficulties should be built into the court, right? Like, you'd have to scramble over things. And
I'm imagining the old school James Cameron Terminators on, like, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters with, like, one of the people is, like, the Terminator.
And like the Globetrotters, they should play against a human team every week and just destroy them. Just dominate them.
Meatbag.
The Washington Generals, they lose two or three guys a week to the robots. make it death row prisoners that play against the, you're playing for your freedom, but then everybody knows they can't win.
Well, things have taken a turn for the darkness on the Level 1 News, and that means it's our time to go.
We'll see you tomorrow, where we'll talk about business, and I think we'll do security with that.
So things are going to get even darker, in other words.